Hello and welcome to Grapefruit League Town, my journey through Mets spring training, with me, Jeff Heisen. Hi everyone, I'm back from Roger Dean Stadium. A lackluster 3-2 Mets loss today. Not a great game, not a lot went on as far as the Mets were concerned. But Luis Severino made his first appearance in a Mets uniform, pitched two strong innings, and that's really good. Mark Vientos with a home run. Starling Marte with a brilliant play in right field. He got a bunt single in the first to start the game, and he made a brilliant throw to get the runner going from second to third on a fly ball. The cameras, if you watch the highlights, it was a St. Louis video, the cameras didn't show this, but I watched Marte, and he kicked up his leg and pumped his fist. Must have felt good. That was an incredible throw. Blake Tidwell pitched, and he was a little shaky at first. He gave up a weird run. The ball hit the knob of Paul Goldschmidt's bat, went into fair territory. Everyone stood there. It rolled out toward Pete. Pete yelled over to Blake Tidwell, cover first. He eventually did, got the out, run scored. But that was weird. Jeremy Heffner went out, talked to Blake Tidwell, told him, must have told him, throw harder. And he did. He dialed it up, and he struck out back-to-back Nolans, Gorman, and Arenado. So, a good outing overall by Blake Tidwell. The game was at Roger Dean Stadium, which Roger Dean, by the way, is a Chevrolet dealership. And Roger Dean Stadium affords us an opportunity that you don't have in the other two local spring training ballparks to see the pitchers close. And when I say close, you get there early. Go down the line because the bullpens are on the field. They shouldn't be, but they are. It's a minor league stadium. Used to be that way at Clover Park until Buck asked Steve Cohn to spend some money and build interior bullpens. And that's what they have in West Palm Beach. But here, they're on the field. So if you get there early, you can stand closer than 6 feet, 6 inches to the starting pitcher for the Mets. And it was a little crowded. I didn't do it today. So that's a nice feature of Roger Dean Stadium. A bad feature is that there are Cardinals fans there. There are lots of Cardinals fans there. It was almost filled. Give credit to the Cardinals fans. After all, as they tell us, they're the greatest fans in baseball. But they do travel, so the place was almost filled. There was a hype video, and it wasn't just highlights of the Cardinals. They had the manager, Ollie Marmol, saying, and I wrote this down, there's going to be some tenacious Cardinals in the clubhouse this season. Tenacious Cardinals, I was picturing angry birds flying around, and then I realized he meant the players. But you don't hear the word tenacious applied to baseball players. Tenacious D, of course, but not baseball players. I found two things that Mets fans and Cardinals fans can agree about. One was the PA announcer before the game said, the temperature in Queens, New York, of course, Queens is a borough, not a city or a town, but let's get past that. He said, the temperature in Queens, New York is 49 degrees. The temperature in St. Louis is 48 degrees. And the temperature at the ballpark, 78 degrees. And we all cheered, of course. And the second thing that Mets fans and Cardinals fans agreed on today, they read the names of the umpires, and when they said Angel Hernandez is behind the plate, everybody, whether you were wearing blue or red, groaned. So the incompetence of Angel Hernandez is something that everyone agrees on, whether you're wearing Mets blue or Cardinals red. Today was the third time the Mets have played the Cardinals already this spring. That's 3 out of 6 times they'll play St. Louis. They'll play Washington 6 times. And that's exceeded by the 7 times that they will play Houston and Miami. 7 against Houston, 7 against Miami, 6 against St. Louis, 6 against Washington. All but 5 of their games are right there with just 4 teams. They'll play the Yankees 3 times and Detroit 2 times, and that's it. There's very little variety in the spring training schedule for teams on the Treasure Coast, the east coast of Florida. Contrast that with the other side of Florida and with Arizona. There are more teams, more opponents. It's more interesting, more diverse for the players. It's more interesting and diverse for the fans who have to see the same teams over and over. This can lead to some awkward situations at the end of spring training. If the Mets say we're going to play Miami in the first week of the season, you don't want the same starting pitcher to face them in a spring training game during the last week of the season. As recently as last year, Buck kept a starting pitcher back at camp to work in the backfields. against the minor leaguers instead of facing major league opposition during the last week of spring training, which defeats the purpose of spring training, but that's what happens with so few teams. You don't want the same pitchers to face the same hitters at the end of spring training. I'm hoping that the East Coast of Florida gets at least one more team. Jeffy Wilpon tried to get a team to join the Mets in Port St. Lucie, and somehow his magnetic personality and his strong business sense didn't win the day, and no other team shares Port St. Lucie with the Mets. When Major League Baseball expands, perhaps the easternmost team, likely Nashville at this point, will be told to or will want to train on the East Coast of Florida. There are towns on the East Coast of Florida which have facilities and lost teams. I'm sure that they would be receptive to having another major league team there. Vieira misses having a team. Vieira further away toward Orlando from where the Mets are. That's where the Astros were. Vero Beach, famously Dodger Town. The facility is still used for baseball, although no one has spring training there. So hopefully the Mets will have another opponent in the not-too-distant future, as opposed to the same four teams over and over. Any concerns about facing the same team at the end of spring training then in the early part of the regular season was alleviated because this year's schedule is so strange. And I talked about this on National League Town, but I didn't understand why. And then Jason Stark, who I'm not in the habit of quoting, I'm not a huge fan, but he had an excellent article about how they made up this year's schedule. And he noted some of the quirks, including the Mets schedule. And that's because the Mets and the Phillies are going to London in June. So MLB's idea was to have the Mets have a lot of travel in April, facing mostly Central and Western Division teams, and then it will ease in May, so they will have less travel in May leading into June before they travel to London. What I noted on National League Town is the August schedule. That's where they're making up a lot of the Mets' travel. The August schedule is ridiculous. If you go from August 2nd to September 1st, the Mets have 27 games with only 9 at home, 18 road games, and all will be out of the Eastern time zone, including 2 West Coast trips. 18 road games, including 2 West Coast trips in 1 month from August 2nd to September 1st. And it's going to be tough on the players, and it's going to be tough for us as well. So it's a strange schedule this year, largely in part because of the London trip. And as for the ballpark song of the day, a song that I heard today at the ballpark that caught my ear, Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash. I like The Clash. My brother loves The Clash. I saw The Clash at Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts in 1979. Lead singer Joe Strummer walked off the stage in the middle of the show. No one knew why. He didn't tell his bandmates. Mick Jones looks at us, the lead guitarist, shrugs his shoulders, and says, maybe he had to go to the bathroom. And that was the end of the show. Should I Stay or Should I Go applies to something I've noticed about the fans. At the 3 games I attended this week, fans are staying deeper into the games. That doesn't mean they're leaving earlier time-wise, but they're seeing more of the game. Prior to the pitch clock, I noticed people would leave about the 5th, 6th inning. This is Florida. It's 3 o'clock. Time to get ready for dinner. And also the unrecognizable players are in the game. But now the game is moving with greater alacrity. It's 3 o'clock. Wednesday's game lasted an hour and 59 minutes. Today's game went 2:23, so people are seeing more of the game, even if they're not staying later in the day. And that's a good thing. So people are asking, should I stay or should I go? Now they're staying. And that'll do it for this episode of Grapefruit League Town. I don't have another game planned until Wednesday, but look for a new episode on Monday. I have a lot on my mind, and we'll share a few thoughts with you about the Mets and spring training, even if I don't go to a game. So look for an episode on Monday. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Jeff Heisen, and as always, let's go Mets! Copyright 2024, music provided by the Royal Arctic Institute. Check them out on Spotify.